next case for argument is Dung v. Mukasey. Mr. Cox.
I have to borrow my jacket. It's very difficult because I'm a Yankees fan and he's a Mets fan.
Okay, it's an appropriate economy. I appreciate it.
I thank Mr. Yerman for his courtesy. I owe him one. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm very happy to appear, and I'm glad that the court has put several cases together to kind of consider the full range of issues. China has about 30 provinces. The U.S. the family planning law is a national policy enforced in every and all 30 provinces. I just in response to what came before a little bit, the earthquake in Sichuan, for example, gave a very clear evidence that the what happened to families there, resulting in people applying for permits to have additional children. I'm sorry. It made it clear that the policy in Sichuan is identical to in other provinces such as Fujian, which is an issue in most of the cases here. There are experimental programs in Heilongjiang that look towards a future lessening of the policy. I think in the future, after 2010, the government has said that the policy will remain in effect until 2010 and be revisited at that time. So it is looking forward to a change, but that's not where we are today, and it's not where we are for petitioners who have children born in the United States and face repercussions and sterilization if they're sent back.
Are you familiar with the Kuchana case that this court released on Monday regarding jurisdiction?
Well, thanks to the busy internet emails from the immigration attorneys, I am familiar with it, Your Honor.
Would you address that subject?
I will. I want to first, I have two answers to it. One is as to the successive claim, which is part of our claim today. I know Your Honor, Judge Posner, you have ruled against that in Chen Cheng, the successive claim. However, you know, in 208A, authority for asylum under changed circumstances, there is which I argue in the successive asylum claim, that is asylum without reopening. 208A3 is a limitation on judicial review of that section. No court shall have jurisdiction to review any determination by the Attorney General under paragraph 2. 2 includes changed circumstances. I'm arguing that more specific door-closing provision is provided by Congress is really what should apply in this case. The general, you know, there is discretionary decisions, the 242B bar, which is less specific and less relevant to the changed circumstances that is very expressly put forth in the statute and in 208A3. Therefore, I don't think that the discretionary decision bar should apply. Back to Kuchana.
I'm lost because Kuchana, however you pronounce it, is a case about changed country conditions, and the court said, no, it's not petition. Denial of the petition is not reviewable unless there's an issue of law involved. So,
well,
doesn't that govern this case?
If it does, then that portion of my claim on changed country conditions is barred by that. I don't think that the...
not if you have an issue of law concerning that. There's this, now it's a rather critical issue, the distinction between a discretionary judgment and a legal judgment by the board. So are you arguing that they just abused their discretion, or are you arguing they made a legal mistake?
I'm arguing Kuchana is wrong for asylum cases because the 242...
Well, I would say Kuchana was an asylum case.
Right. I think this court should go the other way.
Well, yes, I know, but the opinion was circulated to the full court, and the court declined to grant rehearing en banc, so it's unlikely that
I see, but I didn't see that the court considered that asylum withholding is a mandatory, not discretionary, that asylum is accepted from the whole discretion barring provision of it. And it's because Congress says that asylum is different. You know, asylum is a fear of persecution. Asylum is, and it does not also take into consideration, it wholly ignores the mandatory bar is 1231 against to any alien for who his faces of persecution.
Your time has expired. Let me just say, is there any, apart from wanting us to re-examine Kukana, is there any point that you want to make that would be consistent with Kukana? Any legal point about your client's situation?
Well, first of all, that successive is so totally separate from the opening and should not be subject to that limitation, but that the issue of country conditions in China is, I mean, look at the decision in this case. It was not that the Judge Asuna, the board, considered it a legal and addressed it as a purely legal issue as to whether or not the standard was met for changed country conditions. And he said, as a matter of discretion, he would deny on the sua sponte request for reopening. It's in his decision. So, as understood by Judge Asuna, and I would argue that his understanding is correct, that reopening is a legal decision, not discretionary.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Cox.
For your time.
Mr. Dupree?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Tom Dupree on behalf of the United States. As I understand Kukana, the petitioner, in order to preserve jurisdiction, this court needs to identify a question of law. And as best I could tell from the petitioner's presentation, his arguments are essentially twofold. First, he wants this court to overrule the prior panel decision in Cheng Chen, which, of course, this panel lacks the power to do. That's an argument that's properly presented to the en banc court. And second, he wants the panel to overrule Kukana. And that argument obviously fails before this panel for the same reason. I think that to the extent petitioner does attempt to identify an error of law in the board's decision, it would be one of several points. It would be either his argument that the board misapplied the legal standard in denying his motion to reopen. That's an argument in his brief. I don't think it's well taken for the reasons set forth in our brief, namely that the basis for the board's denial of reopening was that the petitioner had failed to show changed circumstances. So, in other words, this court can and should uphold the board's decision on that basis alone, and it need not even reach the secondary question as to whether the petitioner had succeeded in presenting a prima facie case for reopening. The petitioner's other argument that charitably could be construed as raising a question of law is his argument that he was improperly denied a hearing on his withholding claim, both his statutory withholding claim as well as his withholding claim arising under the CAT. Again, for the reasons set forth in our brief, I don't think that argument is well taken. Clearly, the petitioner did have a hearing. He did have an opportunity to present these arguments. He did not succeed on these arguments. And I don't think there is any basis for invoking international law or petitioner's other sources of authority to trump the statutory provisions that Congress had enacted for resolving these claims. So I think his arguments before this court fail for that reason as well. Unless there are questions from the panel, I believe that summarizes our argument. We would ask that the petitioner's petition for review be denied in its entirety.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dupree, and thank you, Mr. Cox. The next case for argument is Huang versus Mukasey. Mr. Chen.
May it please the court, Your Honor, my name is...
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I begin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning.